We're going to talk about casting our care on the Lord this morning. Oh, yeah, I'm excited about it. I've made me another level decision, a quality decision, that I'm going to learn to just live carefree. I come a long ways than I, you know, from where I was, but I'm learning more and more. Amen. I'm going to get real good at not worrying. World class. You know what I'm talking about? Gold belt wearing. World class, worry-free liver, or whatever you want to call it. Amen. Anybody with me on that? Thank God we can do it. How many of you know the Bible tells us to cast our care on the Lord? Cast our care on the Lord. We must be able to do that, or He wouldn't ask us to. He wouldn't say to in the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can get real good at that. And, you know, sometimes people wonder why they're not great faith people. And I would say to a degree, you can examine this area to a degree, a number of a certain percentage of the people that just struggle with really walking in faith and being victorious, I would say a large percentage of them is this area right here. They constantly allow the devil to lure them out of peace with thoughts of anxiety and trouble and vexation and torment and harass. Their minds are harassed and tormented. And I would say one of your greatest, I'm going to say this way, and so you might challenge me in your thinking at first until I explain myself. One of your greatest, most valuable things in this life is your mind. You might say, well, no, Pastor, it's my new birth. Well, that's you, not your possession. That's who you are. You are a new creation. So whenever I say you, one of your greatest, most valuable things in this life that you possess is your mind, and because that allows you to your mind is sort of the bridge between the natural and the spiritual. Your spirit man has contact with God. Your physical body contacts this natural world. But your mind can either side in with what God's saying to your heart or side in with what this physical body's telling you or you're getting out of this physical realm, sense knowledge. It can go either way. And the way it goes determines who wins. Whether God, who's talking to your spirit, wins, or your mind sides in with your natural, you know, what you can perceive in the natural realm, and that'll dominate you if your mind goes that direction. That's why the Bible says to renew our minds with the Word of God, because a renewed mind will side in with the heart. Amen. You don't believe God with your mind, but it will side in with your heart. And so when people struggle in faith, it has a lot to do in many, many, many situations. It has a lot to do with an undisciplined thought life. Y'all hearing me this morning? You might say, I've heard this preach. I have too. In fact, you might have heard me preach it. Amen. Amen. They have heard it preached, but they've not yet got good at it in everyday life, actually practicing thinking thoughts, taking God's thoughts and thinking them after Him. Right. A couple of weeks ago, when I believe it was a Wednesday night, we talked about Isaiah 55, 7 through 11. It talks about, let the wicked forsake his ways and his thoughts. And then he said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And then he says, as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven returns not thither, except it water the earth, it might bring forth and cause the earth to bud and bring forth seed to the sower and bread to the earth. So shall my word be, go forth out of my mouth. In other words, there's a lot in that passage. I think maybe it'd be good to recap it a little bit. Let's go back there again. There's a lot in that passage that we need to understand. Number one, we need to understand that God's words are His thoughts. Whenever He says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and then He said, my word comes down, His thoughts are in His words. Go over there to Isaiah 55. We'll start there rather than where I was going to start. And let's just do a brush up on whether we're living carefree or not. Is there any room for any improvement? In my life, there is. How about yours? Man, I'm finding, you go through a phase of life or a season where God really deals with you about it, and you really get it down, and then I found you grow a while, and you get to enter into this in a whole new level. Because, listen to me very carefully, because as you follow the Lord, He'll lead you into taking on more responsibility, taking the steps of faith, getting out into areas you haven't been into, whether it be, you know, business or ministry or fellowshipping with God, rather than just kind of, you know, mentally reading a verse before you go out on your day, but you're really going into some deeper places of fellowship with Him. All of these areas, you grow and you progress. You use your faith to go into new levels. Isn't that right? How many of you know we go from faith to
faith?
We don't just stay where we are. Any area, whether it's fellowshipping with God, whether it's knowing Him, whether it's taking steps of obedience into the plan of God for our life, whether it's, you know, finances or whatever, or whether it's not just letting every time the flu comes around every season, we just let it happen or something. There's some area we ought to be growing in faith. Whether it be a controlling our thought life, that's a faith to faith kind of thing. I can't think on things I used to think on. It's too dangerous. Opens the door too quickly to the enemy. But whether any of those areas, we take on more responsibility. Let's take finances, for example. I don't mean to always go back to that, but it illustrates things so well. It's just easy for people to understand. When it comes to finances, one reason Christians don't prosper is because they're not willing to take on... Let me say it this way. They've not learned to take on more responsibility without taking the care. I just gave some of you some answers. Hello? There are people who just can't handle it. God tries to move them into something greater. And they it requires more responsibility. It requires more of their attention. It requires more of their faith. Amen. They've got to watch over a bigger, manage a larger responsibility at their department at work, or they are now in charge of the business rather than just working at it or something. And that means more responsibility. Hey, it's just a fact of life. You know why they pay more at the CEO of McDonald's more than they pay the hamburger flipper? Responsibility. This economy pays for responsibility. Amen. Don't try to get around that. I mean, it's just, I'm not saying that God can't prosper if He told you to flip hamburgers, but there's going to be something that He's going to give you in the midst of that. To increase you. I don't believe in staying at the same place. If you do, you believe wrong. The Lord shall increase you more and more. Something's wrong if we're not increasing. And this is one thing that's wrong sometimes. People are not willing to take on more responsibility. They can't handle it. They don't want it. I just want to be able to clock out at 5 and go home. Okay, stay where you are financially then. Or if they're not, if it's that they're willing, sometimes people are willing, but they've not yet learned to take responsibility without the care, without the anxiety. So we go through levels where God gives us more responsibility, whether it's in the kingdom of God, whether it's in the financial arena of you know, increasing to finance the kingdom of God, more responsibility in different areas. And people spaz out. I've watched them. I've watched people do that over and over again. I thought, they're stuck right there in life. They've not learned the skill. They've heard it preached. I said, they've heard it preached. I said, they heard it preached. But their mind is not yet renewed enough because they've not practiced this in everyday life. When anxiety comes, they've not learned to cast it down. They've not learned to cast that over on the Lord and answer that and refuse to take that anxiety into them. So they back, rather than learn the skill of doing that, they back out of the responsibility and live in a lesser place than God planned for them to live. Tell your neighbor, he went ahead and preached your answer already. It's a process of renewing the mind. Amen. A mind that continually takes care, takes anxiety into it, is a mind that's not renewed. Bible said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, be not conformed to this world, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our minds are to be renewed to the point where we can take on a project of faith, take the responsibility. See, what is the responsibility? Faith. Faith. That's the responsibility. Take the responsibility to believe God over something bigger and do it without taking the care.
Amen.
I'm in the process right now of moving into some bigger thing. And I'm learning on another level now to not take the care. I mean, it's like a daily thing. And I tell myself, I'm going to learn this on this level. I'm not taking that into my heart. I'm not taking that into my mind. What do I mean? Remember Jesus in Matthew 6, a couple of different, well, actually four, I think maybe five. I'd have to read it again and count it. But I think four or five different times in Matthew 6, Jesus said, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for what you eat. Take no thought for what you drink. It gets a little bit misleading there because if you don't read the context, you miss what he's saying. He doesn't mean don't think about it. He's saying don't take anxious thoughts. Anxious thoughts and thinking about it can be two different things. Thinking about it in the sense of just, you know, what's God saying to me about this and how do I go about this and how does he want me to, you know, and that's not just a thinking thing, it's a heart thing too. But you understand, you got to think too. You got to plan. Think ahead. Well, praise the Lord, I already did it. I preached myself happy. Hallelujah. So, but learn that it's the preaching of it's not enough. Don't be satisfied with just hearing it and getting the comfort out of hearing it in service. Go ahead and practice it to where you can live this way, take on more responsibility, stretch a little bit in faith, lay hold of something, and when the devil's going, yakety yak yak, you cast that down. Get good at that. And when you get good at that level, God will say, okay, I'll take you on to some more now. Amen. Brother Hagin said it took a friend of his, he never said who it was, I think for good reason, took a friend of his through the campus on a golf cart through the campus of Rhema after they had all those buildings were built and everything, and he showed him everything. This friend hadn't seen it. And this friend went, oh, my goodness, Brother Hagin, you got all this care on you. And Brother Hagin said, no, I don't. No, no, no. No, I don't. No, I don't take the care of it. He answered that right there in that golf cart. No, 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 no. See, he grew up in the home of two world-class worriers. His grandma and his mom. In fact, his mom worried herself actually physically blind and lost her mind. Because of worry. Remember, he had to be stationed by the door. If grandma was out in the garden picking peas or something, he was the one stationed at the door to holler if mama went and grabbed a knife to kill herself. Amen. See, the devil had taken advantage of that. See, she had married, Brother Hagin's mom had married a man who was just a mess. Didn't take care for the children. And it put a lot on her. And she worried herself right into being tormented to the place wanting to kill herself. See, these are demons. No different today. Amen. And he was the one. See, he grew up in that, and that tried to get on him. His mother actually went physically blind. The doctor said they couldn't find anything physically wrong with her. They said it's just anxiety. It's nerve related. I believe there's a lot of people on medications today for no other reason. They haven't learned to cast their care on the Lord. They haven't learned. And I'm not putting them down because to be honest with you, this is something I have to deal with. You, if you're alive, you probably have to deal with this. Look at your neighbor and see if they're alive. Poke them in the arm real hard and see if they're, they're alive. I can see. You got to deal with this. Let's have victory in our minds. Let's not have minds that are tormented, harassed, full of anxiety, full of thoughts of failure, full of thoughts of condemnation, thoughts of offense, anything that opens the door to the devil to harass our minds. Let's go ahead and do it. What do you say? Let's not just have victory in church and shout in church, but all week long where our minds are sanctified. Our minds don't take in the thoughts of the enemy. And we live in peace. Hallelujah. So did you get that about taking responsibility? Amen. They've not yet learned to take responsibility sometimes. Christians sometimes haven't. For greater things without taking the care. In other words, they get under the care of it, so they can't enter into it. It's just too much for them. Well, you can grow in faith by practicing on a lower level to where you can grow and enter into greater things and greater responsibility and use your faith in that area without taking the care. Faith doesn't mean you just because I'm responsible for this now, I just worry about it all the time. Faith is a rest. Now, I'm quoting Hebrews 4, whenever it says, they that believe enter into rest. I'm not turning to a lot of these scriptures this morning. I'm just sharing out of my heart here. So when we really, truly learn to believe God on a level, that means we learn at that level, whatever anxiety comes against our mind, at that level, we stay in rest and we don't take the thoughts of anxiety. That doesn't mean they won't come. But it's different. There's a difference between thoughts of anxiety coming and us taking them. What you been thinking about this week? I dare you to go home this afternoon and say, okay, God, between me and you, I lay myself before you. What thoughts this week have I taken in that displeased you? And get ready. You'll be amazed. I'll tell you why. Because as a born-again believer, the battle for your spirit's already been won. That's been settled. You got saved. But the battle rages on for your thought life. Daily. In fact, sometimes moment by moment. You can wake up sometimes in the middle of the night and wham, there's that anxiety. What am I going to, That's not the time to lay there and think about it. That's the time to get up on your hind legs, as we used to say. Get up on your hind leg and say, no, I answer that thought and take something from the word that counteracts that and say, no, it is written. I'm not going to lay here and think about that. I'm casting this care over on the Lord, answering it with the truth of God's word. See, that's real spiritual warfare right there. Answer it with the truth of God's word. Answer the doubt, the worry, the fear. Answer it directly, and then turn your attention away from it and onto the word. And refuse to think about what the devil's saying. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, well, well. Did I help you yet? Actually, I didn't. The word did. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You can hear this preach, but that doesn't mean that you've ever really learned to do this. It's a skill. You know, in the natural world, you learn a skill. You learn about computing. You learn about how to use a certain, piece of software or a tool or something like that. Or, if you're going into engineering, you've got to develop certain things. But in the spirit realm, there's skill just as well. And so don't look at it as, okay, I heard that. That means I'm a world-class person when it comes to living worry-free. No, it's going to be tested. It's not just for church. This is for everyday life. Hallelujah. Have you found Isaiah 55? Let the wicked, this is verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Look at that. In other words, part of returning to God, people that are out of fellowship with God, is what they do with their thought life. Isn't that what that's saying? Let the wicked forsake his ways and thoughts, and let him return to God. In other words, return to the way God said things are. Turn to the way God thinks. All right? For my thoughts, God speaking, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Oh, my goodness. There's so much revelation in that. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, that's quite a ways, so are my thoughts. In other words, that's how far above my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Then he says, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, except and it returns not thither. King James says, but watereth the earth. The actual Hebrew says, except it waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. There's so much in that passage right there. Amen. So God offers us his thoughts and tells us to take them. How many of you know not a one of them are worried thoughts? You think God's up in heaven going, oh, whoa, ooh, ooh, Jesus, pray, ooh. We laugh because we know there is no anxiety with him. So, so his mind's not full of anxious thoughts. Amen? So he's offering us his thoughts, and he wants us to take them. In other words, he wants us to think his thoughts after him. That's what he meant when he said, my words are higher above yours, but I sent, but I sent my word down to you. In other words, my words are my thoughts. Notice he started out talking about thoughts, and then he ended up talking about his word. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and will not return unto me void. So his words contain his thoughts. So giving us his word, he's saying, I give you my thoughts, take them. Take them. Think them after me. This is the way I think about this. This is the way I think about this. Every area of life, he shows you the way he thinks. And he said, take them. I offer them to you. Take them. In other words, renew your mind to them. That's what that is. It's replacing your thoughts with God's thoughts. Amen. That's what renewing the mind in Romans 12:2 is. I know we've gone over this. But according to Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is where the transformed life is. I see multitudes of people, they're born again. They're right with God as far as they go to heaven and so forth. But in this life, they live defeated. Their lives are conformed. They look a lot like the world. That's right. Because they've never done this process of renewing the mind. Jesus did something with your spirit in the new birth, but he told us to do something with our minds. In Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. The understood subject is you and me, but be transformed. You and me do that. And God gave us his word to do that with. We don't have to do it on our own. We don't have to come up with our own thoughts, our own ideas. We just take what he says and renew our mind to this. And so when we do that, that's where the transformed life is. You know, just like rain comes down. You ever seen a desert area? I saw this in Nigeria. There's seasons of dry and seasons of rain. That's somewhat in California, dry season. And you go to a certain season, it's all brown. Looks desert, you know. But then you go another season, it's all lush and green. And it just, that rain transforms that landscape. And that's what he's talking about here in Isaiah. Are you getting what he said? As the rain comes down, basically you could say it waters the earth and transforms the earth. Isn't that right? He's saying that's where the transformed life is when you take my thoughts and think my thoughts. Amen. Not just once. Not just I had the thought one time, what God said. I had the thought of what God said. No, it's a new mentality. It takes your way of thinking. You notice he said thoughts and ways. It takes the thought is something that you meditate on until it becomes a way of thinking. The renewed mind, the goal of renewing your mind is not reached because we had a thought or had one of God's thoughts one time. The goal is to renew our mind is the goal, and the goal is not reached until we have a new way of thinking. This is true when it comes to faith. People say, well, I pray, but nothing happened. Jesus said, when you pray, believe, you receive. Amen. Got to renew our mind to that. Amen. We have to think that way just as much as believe that way that I received when I prayed. Amen. But multitudes of people's minds have not been renewed just to that one verse. It would transform their life if they would renew their mind to that just that one verse. So they continue praying and begging and asking God and wondering why God won't give them peace and so forth and so on. Well, he really already did, but you just won't take his thoughts. Tight but right, but whether it's me, you, that post right there, or somebody else, it's for all of us. Amen. Amen. So it refers here in Isaiah to his thoughts. And then it also tells us that your thoughts can become, or his thoughts can become your thoughts by taking his word that comes down and renewing your mind to it, and it'll transform your life. Amen. How do we do that? We meditate on the word, Joshua 1:8 says. The process of renewing the mind is the process of making God's word your own. In other words, it's no longer just God said, it's the way I think. It's first nature. You got to get that. Your mind is renewed whenever that the way of the word is your way of thinking and it's first nature. It's not what you think about hours later when the doctor gives you a bad report. After you have been disquieted, unsettled, all fearful and anxious for hours. No, the renewed mind is first nature. He said, it's this, it'll be 6 months. You say, it's healed by Jesus' stripes. Thank you, doctor. Appreciate you helping me out and taking the test and everything. And I appreciate it. You go your way at rest. Because you already got the good report. Isaiah 53:1-3. Whose report will you believe? When you've already got the good report and that's already filled your mind, that's your mentality, that Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my pains with long life. He'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. When that's already gotten in your heart and renewed your mind, it provides the Bible says in Philippians 4:6-7, it garrisons, the Amplified says that garrisons and mounts guard over your heart and mind. In other words, whenever that report of the doctor comes, you hear it all right, but it bounces off of something. It bounces off of the word. Ha ha ha. And we don't have to be anxious and, you know, start making our plans for dying. Oh, what a life. We got such a life to live. People fall apart when they lose their job. Well, their minds aren't renewed yet. To the care of their father. Remember casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. But what about my finances? He knows that you have need of all these things. He knows. And he's already made provision, to be honest with you. He, from the foundation of the world, he saw every one of your and my days. All that we would need, and he already provided for every single thing. You know what care does, though? It keeps us from seeing what he's provided. I like Psalm 23. I think it's verse 5. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The enemy said, you're not going to have enough this month. They fired you or they laid you off or whatever. And you go, I remember a table spread. Where the saints of God are fed. And I hear the Lord calling, come and dine, come and dine. And you just cast your care on the Lord and don't worry about it. Say, Father God, there's supply for me. You put a big bowl of provision on this table. Remember, he said there, the Lord is my, he started that chapter out saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Shall not want. So on that table, because he said he prepares a table there before me in the presence of mine enemies. On that table is a big bowl of provision. Every need met. Let me tell you something else is on that table. It's a big bowl of carefree living. Carefree living. He said in the presence of our enemies. There's an enemy back here behind us going, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're not going to have no money. Where are you going to get the money? Where are you going to get a job? You need a job. You hear that, all right. You turn around, and he's back there, but you just go. You belly up. You know what we that's what we used to call it on the farm growing up. Come on, it's on the table, belly up. I mean, get your belly all the way up to the table. Real as far as you can get, you know. The devil's back there yakking. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? You just belly up. Pass the peace, please. Yeah. There is a table spread. I think that's a song. There is a table. I don't remember how it goes. Table spread where the saints of God are fed. Come and dine. The master calleth. Come and dine. In other words, don't listen to the enemy. Come up to the table. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. I'm preaching myself happy this morning. Now, so we want to learn to do this by meditating on the Word. The devil's vying for your attention. God's saying, there's a table spread in front of you. Turn your attention to that. Yeah, but the devil's saying. Yeah, and God's saying something too if you listen. Just who are you going to tune into now? Many seasons of tests and trials are troublesome seasons for people. And I'll tell you why. Now I don't mean, what I mean by that is, because faith doesn't mean we don't have seasons of tests or trials. But what I'm talking about is, they lose their peace. People in those tests and trials lose their peace during those seasons. The reason is because they stopped doing the Word. Just that simple. They got their attention on the test, which is screaming. You understand? Remember, Peter saw the wind boisterous and was afraid. That's the way the devil, that's the way tests and trials talk, boisterous. They're screaming, yeah, you're going to go under. You're a failure. You're not going to have them. And they scream at you. It's all designed to shock you and get your attention and get you locked into that rather than turning your attention over on the Word and locking into the Word. While the devil's over there tribulating, you're in peace. Amen. I was reading a number before we began building our house. I think it was very interesting that the Lord pointed this out to me before we began building our house. I was reading in Brother Hagin's book, Triumphant Church. I forget which chapter it is. I think it actually encompasses two separate chapters. where Brother Hagin gave three, he gave more, but three illustrations of even Christians who went, we would call them we would say today they lost their mind. In other words, they went into institutional care because they just whacked out, you know. And he told a number of those stories, and I was reading through there, and I noticed I'd never seen this before. I noticed a pattern. One of them was his mother. He talked about the story of his mother, who, remember, she had been warned not to marry this guy, Brother Hagin's father, but she said, well, if I make my bed hard, I'll lie in it. And she made it hard, and she tried to lie in it. And lost her mind. She needed institutional care. Wanted to kill herself and so forth. And Brother Hagin said, because the reason was, the thing that opened the door was all the worry all the trouble that came because of, you know, being in that situation, trying to raise four kids on her own and so forth, no husband around. Anyway, so that was one of them. And then there was another lady, no innuendo here about ladies, but there's another lady that she was, and Brother Hagin told a story, he preached for a pastor and his wife in California that were in the middle of a big church building project. And because of being overworked in the church building project and because of the stress that they received because of that, the pastor's wife actually lost her mind, needed institutional care. And he said it was all because she opened the door to the devil through worry. And then there was the third case of a woman that went through menopause and began to brood about it. You know what I mean by brood about it? Worrying about it. Being anxious about it. I'm not the woman I once was. You know, whatever. Let the devil in. Yeah, amen. Not trying to pick on ladies. I'm just saying that it just so happened that some of those stories were ladies. He talked about men too, but I was just drawn to three of them because what the Lord pointed, and he pointed this out right before we started building our house. I'm so thankful. I shared this with Pastor Debbie. What the Lord pointed out was the devil got a hold of each one of their minds because every one of them started went nuts. So we say today they lost their minds and needed institutional care. They couldn't handle it. Just we call it a mental breakdown or emotional breakdown or something like that. That's not just. We as believers shouldn't just see that and say, the poor dear, I wonder what happened. No, the devil can't just do that without us opening the door to those things. Am I making any sense this morning? He can't just move in and take your mind. It's your mind. You can choose what you think on and what you don't think on. It's not the devil's mind. He can't choose for you. It's your mind, and you do the choosing. As much as sometimes it feels like I just can't help it, that's a lie. You can't help it. It's your mind. I remember a person that came to healing school one time. They would just every now and then just spaz out. The devil was harassing their mind. And I remember one time I set them down, and I said, because they were in one of these spells, I said, what's your name? I'm talking to the person. I'm not talking about the devil. Because somebody said, why don't you cast it out? Well, it's going to come back, and they need to learn how to resist this thing.
Yeah, that's good.
You can cast things out. Somebody said, they're a Christian, and they got something. Well, it's not in their spirit, but in their mind. The devil will take various degrees of people's minds, but according to how much they'll yield their thought life to him. And this person had yielded their thought life to him, whatever. I never got to the bottom of what it all started as. It's probably fear or worry or something. Or sometimes perversion does this. But I set this person down and I said, what's your name? They weren't even there. I said, what's your name? Tell me your name. I'm not talking to the devil. I'm talking to the person. Tell me your name. Bob, it was a man. Bob, Sam, whatever. What's your name? And eventually I got them to say their name. I said, where do you live? What I'm talking about your address. And they eventually, because it took them a while to get a hold of their thoughts. See, that's how far gone their mind was. You remember that man, the madman of Gadara? After Jesus ministered to him, the Bible said they came out, the people out of the city came out, and they found the man sitting at Jesus' feet, sitting and clothed, now listen to this, in his right mind. In other words, before that devil had gotten him out of his right mind. The devil had actually possessed that man's mind. That man had lost control of it. It's not worth giving any thought to the devil because he'll start moving in and start to control your mind. He'll control it with worry. He'll control it with fear. He'll control it with offense. He'll control it with condemnation or something. It's not worth giving one thought. Remember Jesus said, take no thought. Zero thoughts. The Bible said to quench every fiery dart of the wicked. Guard what's getting into your thought life. So I said to this man after I got him to say his name, and I said, "Where do you live? Where's your home?" And eventually he got a hold of his mind enough to think about what that. And I kept bringing him further into control of his mind that way. And eventually he could sit there and hold a sane conversation with you. Because he got a hold of his thought life. Now, that wasn't even anything spiritual. I wasn't quoting Bible verses. I was just getting him to get control of his thought life again. And he got control of it back. See, you can do that. Don't sit around and just let worry or offense or something just go through you and go through you, go through you. The devil is taking over. I said he's taking over. Don't give him one thought. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you learning anything this morning? So we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The renewed mind has control of our thoughts. Those three ladies that Brother Hagin talked about, there was more, there was men. You don't want you to take wrong that I'm picking on ladies, because I'm not. But the three that stood out to me right before we started building our house was the ones that got into worry, especially that one that went into the church building project. You ever heard about the statistics on pastors that go through church building projects? How many of them quit the ministry after that, or get sick and die or something like that? It's huge. Well, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. We can cast our care on the Lord. Anybody getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. Satan is looking for an opportunity to get in. Don't give him a chance. How do I do that, Pastor? You keep your mind stayed on him. You keep your mind renewed with the word. If you have to talk it out loud, answer him out loud. In fact, it would be good for you to answer him out loud. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, let's go back to Philippians chapter number 4 here. I've got a lot of things in my notes, but I'm just following my heart a lot here this morning. Philippians 4:11. We're going to read this in the Amplified. Philippians 4:11. Now, this is Paul talking about finances. Remember, they had started giving to him again, and he said, I'm so grateful for it, you know. But then he said in verse 11, not that I imply, this is the Amplified, verse 11, Philippians 4. Not that I am implying that I was in any personal want, for I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted when everything's going good. Huh? Oh, that's easy whenever everything's going good. But he didn't say that. He said, in whatever state I am, any of the circumstances of life. Bad report from the bank, bad report from the doctor, bad report from your spouse, bad report from somewhere. Somebody said something that somebody that wasn't good. And immediately, you ever felt that fear hit the pit of your stomach, or that anxiety grab your mind or something? You ever felt that? It's not okay to just let that happen. Amen. I want you to notice this language. That's why I went here. Paul said, I have learned. Notice he did not say something happened automatically in the new birth that keeps me from being disquieted and troubled. I got saved. I can't worry anymore. No, he didn't say that. So he didn't say something happened at the new birth. He said, I've had to learn this. I've had to learn. When trouble comes, when bad reports come, when anxiety hits my mind, I've had to learn not to be disquieted. I like the words he used there, or disturbed. Oh, can we work with that a little bit? This is something, if Paul had to learn this, you and I are going to have to learn this. I looked up the word disquieted, because that's not a word I go around using every day. How are you doing? I'm disquieted today. So I looked it up. Disquieted means, in the English dictionary, it means lack of calm or lack of peace or ease. Dis means not, you know, not or lack of, in other words. In other words, it's the opposite of. So it's not quiet or not at ease. You got it? It's the opposite of at being at ease. And so what it means is getting worked up about something. Agitated. Something was said that's not, it's just rolling, it's just bugging you, and you get tense. I'll use a funny illustration. We have a cat. I don't know if you notice, animals have souls and emotions and affections, and they can get offended, they can get all that. And they can forget about it, you know. But so our cat, she's a pretty gentle, nice cat and everything. But when it comes to, and you pet her, and she's, you can feel the muscles in her body are relaxed and everything. But when it comes, she likes to eat twice a day. She's a little bit different. Most cats nibble through the day. Our cat just likes to eat a whole big bowl in the morning and a bowl of food in the evening. 8 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, be there or you're in trouble, you know. But sometimes in the morning, I don't like to get, I'm usually meditating, praying around 8. And she'll jump up on you, and she's trying to get your attention, you know. But you go to pet her, and she feels totally different than she does the rest of the day. She's tight. Her muscles are tight. She's tense. She's not there to comfort you by letting you pet her. She's there to say, hey, dude. Hey, my human, you know, I need something to eat. Am I going to get any today? She's worked up about it. She's tight. You can feel her. And you pick her up. If you're standing up, you pick her up and pet her. And she's tight, and she wants down. She's not thinking about, you know, affection right now. She's thinking about food. Yeah. Give me food. And she's anxious about whether she's going to get it this time. I don't know why we've never failed her or forsaken her. Maybe once, maybe twice. Huh? Yeah, we don't get home till late or something. But that's what it means here, about being agitated, unsettled, restless. As soon as she's done eating, Ann takes her shower, by the way. She loves getting in the shower, and you turn on a little bit of drip, 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 she drinks the water out of the shower. I don't know. It's up here. It's. But after that, she's, pet her, and she purrs and all that. But before that, she's all worked up. What's my point? People get that way. Not just animals. Amen. So disquieted means not at ease. You're worked up, tense, unsettled, agitated. Somebody says something and you snap at them. Oh, well, did I just say that? No, I did say that. Hallelujah. How many of you know Israel in the Old Testament is an example of this? The spies came back, 10 of them gave a bad report, 2 of them gave a good report. And you remember the Bible talks about them getting all worked up? They listened to the bad report. They got all worked up. Well, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? I mean, Moses, let's go back to Egypt. And the Bible said they cried. The Bible said they talked about stoning them. The Bible said they got worked up. Isn't that right? How many have ever read the Bible and seen over and over again in the New Testament that God points out the Israelites at Kadesh Barnea and said, that's an example of what not to do? Isn't that right? Amen. They became all restless, worked up. Why? By words. Just words. Just a report. Nothing of any substance. Just words. Are you there? Just words. Just an evil report. It unsettled them. They became disturbed. They became like my cat. Here's something that the Bible says about that story in the Old Testament over and over again. It plainly tells us that it's an example of unbelief. Doesn't it? Over and over in the New Testament. And the Old Testament. Over and over. And God points it out. Hebrews 3, Hebrews 4. In fact, the passage that talks about Hebrews 4, talks about they that believe enter into rest, is in the context of Israel who didn't do that. They got all worked up. Ooh, that's convicting to me. How about you? In other words, to be uneasy and worked up about something as a bad report is an expression of unbelief. It's a choice. It's a choice. What are you going to pay attention to? What are you going to listen to? Sometimes in the middle of it, it doesn't feel like you have a choice, but you do have a choice. It can be so overwhelming sometimes, but that's only because we're not skilled at that level yet. We got to get skilled on all levels. No, not taking that thought of anxiety. I'm not going to enter into the mental realm and thinking. Oh, what am I going to do? Well, I could do this, I could do that. You know, you got right out of faith just that quick at an evil report. I've decided I'm going to get good at not doing that. If it hair lifts the devil, I'm going to stop doing that. What passage is it? Philippians 1:28, I think, in the Amplified says, don't be unsettled for a moment. Not a moment. Remember what Pastor Ike said? Last time I'm giving him credit for it. He said, stop having moments. Because people say, I just had a moment. Wait. It didn't say for a moment. No, it said, don't for a moment. Boy, that takes some high level of skill. But let's get good at it. What do you say? Not for a moment. You get a report, this costs more, that costs more, the budget went up. Not for a moment. Not for a moment. Not for a moment. Now you can pray and seek God about how to do it or what to do it, but that's not anxiety. We got to get rid of the idea that faith is just mean. Okay, we just take the responsibility. So since we're in faith, we're taking the responsibility, but it's all anxiety. We got to get rid of that. We got to separate responsibility from the anxiety. Oh, glory to God. I can learn this to do this better. Can you learn to do it better? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for helping us. He promised to help us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to get real good at not taking thoughts of worry. Praise God. Dr. Dufresne used to always say, a troubled heart's not a believing heart. And that's really what Matthew 6 is talking about, because right in the middle of all those verses that say, don't take any thought, he says, O thou of little faith. Little faith. That means that taking these thoughts reduces our faith down to little. And that's why people wonder why they're never really good faith people, never really strong faith people, is because they take wrong thoughts. It's a mind renewal issue. Hallelujah. We're learning to renew our minds. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So, if we do this properly and become real skilled at it, we'll not be taking it for a moment. As soon as it comes, the fiery darts come. I remember Ephesians talks about every fiery dart, quenching the fiery darts. So as soon as the fiery darts come, we instantly catch them. We don't worry for a while and then catch ourselves. Amen. It's dangerous, the further you go in God, it's dangerous to give the devil any chance or any time or any little open door just for a short time, because he moves in quicker the further you go, because you're doing more damage to his kingdom. He's got to try to get in there. And so I've known of people, Pastor Debbie and I were talking about this, I believe it was last night, people that we know who have taken one thought from the enemy years ago and were tormented with that one thought their whole life. That's not God's plan. God's plan for us is that we be free from those things, whether it be condemnation over past sin or just thoughts of worry, or I did that something wrong and I'll never forgive myself. And the devil just works on them. I'm thinking of three people right now, relatives and so forth. Just the devil just worked on their whole life. Just worked on their whole life. The whole life. Harassed. I mean tormented, harassed. I mean, get every now and then just spaz out kind of thing. That's not right. Let's catch these things. Even if it's one little thing, let's catch it. What do you say? Hallelujah. We're getting better at it. Bible says, take no thought. And he can't move in on a believer without the believer's consent. Amen? And so let's have restraint on our thought life. Whenever one thought of offense comes, one thought of worry comes, one thought of fear comes, let's catch it. Let's become more skilled. What do you say? If you guard your thought life when thoughts of care come by answering these thoughts with the word, about his care with the word and about his care for you, what you're doing is, let's go to Philippians and wrap this up. You're putting a shield of faith up around your heart and mind. And Philippians talks about this, the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter. The Amplified is especially what I want to see. Philippians 4 in the Amplified says in verse 6 and 7, do not fret. Tell your neighbor, don't do it. God tells us not to do it. Well, I can't help it. Well, I guess we'll have to tell God then he was wrong. No, he said, don't do it. Do not fret or have any anxiety. Whew. Someone said that God's put the standard real high. I didn't put it there. God put it there. Any anxiety about anything. Well, God, if you take the big things, I'll handle the little thing. No, anything. Do not have any anxiety about anything. Big, little, medium size, none of them, nothing. But in everything, if I'm not going to do that, what am I going to do? In everything, in every, King James says everything, but Amplified, in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. So he's saying, what you're tempted to worry about, pray about it. And really, he's talking about getting into faith because he said, with thanksgiving. So you get to the place in this prayer that you come, it's no longer a request, it's now, thank you, Lord, I got it. Amen. Thanksgiving. So that's really getting into faith, what he's doing. So then verse 7, and I'm just going to read, and the peace of God. I'm going to skip the portion of the verse to kind of bring out the main meat of it. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, if you're reading in the Amplified, I skipped over some of the description of the peace and just hit the real point of the verse. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Look at that. Garrison. Garrison. Like a troop of soldiers is what a garrison is. And mount guard. Over your what? Your heart and your mind. Woo, glory be to God. What is this telling us? That really peace has been purchased for us in redemption. We have a right. It's part of our benefit package. Remember Isaiah, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, all that harassment of mind, all that torment, all that worry, all that. See, that hit Jesus on the cross. Actually, it started coming on him in the garden. Remember? That hit him in the garden. And he was sweating great drops of blood. All that, all yours came on him. All mine came on him. Amen? And Jesus on the cross fell apart. He took all that. He took mental torment. He took what we call people losing their mind. He took it. He took a nervous breakdown. Yeah. Remember, Isaiah saw it in the spirit. He said he was so marred, he didn't even look like a man. He took it all. He didn't just take our physical diseases, which thank God he did, but he took the chastisement of our peace. He took all that torment. He took losing his mind, losing our mind. He took that on himself. Praise God. Somebody said one time, they said, worrying is like putting yourself in a crock pot. And the longer you stay in there, the more you fall apart. You know, you put meat in a crock pot, eventually you can just take a fork and just pull it right apart. And the longer you're in the crock pot of worry, you're just going to fall apart. Your mind was never created and designed to handle the effects of worry. Amen. I'm almost done here. I was at a minister's fellowship back in May and hadn't seen a lot of these folks for probably most of them like 20 years, some of them maybe 16, 17 years, most of them about 20 years or even more. And, you know, you kind of remember them as they were back then, and you don't know quite sure how much they've aged and all that. And there's a whole bunch of them there. I'm probably a couple hundred. I probably knew half of them. Probably had preached for a lot of them. And I never forget it, whenever I walked in and we all reacquainted and everyone got to say hi to somebody. The thing that hit me the most was how young they all looked. Hadn't seen them for some of them 20 years, you know. And a lot of them just didn't age hardly at all. You know why? Because they learned to do what I'm preaching, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except one of them. And I know what he's been through, and I know how he just kind of just charged in and maybe beyond. Well, I won't get into all that, but anyway, he looked like he'd aged a whole lot, beyond 20 years. But see, that's a choice. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad to report they said the same thing about me. You haven't aged. I looked at, we had a birthday cake in the back with Pastor Ike Wednesday night, and you all got to see it. We got to eat it. And somebody took a picture, sent to Miss Geraldine, and say, "We're eating cake in your honor. We just wanted to say hi." And they sent the picture to me. I looked at the picture. I'm like, "Whoa, you look young." I'm glorifying what living in the presence of God, living worry-free, what it'll do. You been to any of your high school reunions for a while? You walk in, you're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. Boy, sin's been rough on you, hadn't it?" You know it's true. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. But see, there's this. I'm finishing. Tell your neighbor, he's finishing. Let's get in faith together. We're going to finish. We're going to finish. We're going to finish. But notice this garrison. I got to talk about this. Garrison. Garrison and Mount Guard. What is that that does that? Peace. The peace of God does that. You see that? And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds, King James. Garrison. Peace shall garrison. Peace shall garrison. There is a protective force. A shield of, the Bible calls it another place, a shield of faith. But see, faith is entering into rest. And that peace, that by using your faith, that peace can put you in a bubble in the midst of tests and trials that people wonder, "Are you normal? Are you alive? Why aren't you all worked up?" You said, "I've learned. I have learned. I have learned." Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. And it just provides a place of rest to go through life in. And it's like you go through tests and trials. I like what one minister said. "I guess I've been through tests and trials. I just haven't noticed." That's the way you ought to live. That's the way you can live.